I would want to draw your attention to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, and verses 27 to 31. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 27 to 31. And today we are going to see how Jesus Christ suffered the curse of sin. And that's the title this morning. Christ suffered the curse of sin. He did that so that that curse could be removed from us. Matthew chapter 27, verses 27 to 31. The Bible reads, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him." Amen. If you remember, previously, we saw how our Lord was condemned, and he was condemned instead of a criminal. He was condemned on behalf of a criminal. The chief priests hated Christ, and because they hated him, they were determined to get rid of him. They were determined to kill Jesus Christ, to put him to death. And they then plotted against him. They were planning how to get rid of him. And they tried to find ways and means to kill Jesus Christ, because they couldn't just do it automatically. They had to find reasons why they should kill him. But they couldn't kill him without any reason. They had to find a good reason why they should kill him. When they were trying to find a reason, they couldn't find any reason to kill our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they couldn't find any reason, because Jesus was blameless. He had no sin. He was perfect. And because they couldn't find any fault in Jesus Christ, they made up false accusations against him. They made up false charges against him. And they took him to Pilate, the governor. They took him to Pilate so that he could put him to death, so that Pilate could put him to death. And that is why they falsely accused him even before Pilate. When you read this chapter, you will find the chief priests accusing Jesus Christ falsely. And they wanted to alarm the governor so that he could put our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to death. But Pilate was not alarmed. And he was not alarmed because he didn't find any fault in Jesus Christ. He didn't find any sin in him. He found that all the accusations against Christ were unfounded. They were not true. But even if he found no fault in him, he couldn't release him. He couldn't acquit our Lord Jesus Christ. And he couldn't do that because he feared men. He feared that the crowd would react violently. So Pilate was in a big dilemma because he was standing between two things. He was standing between the crowd and between his own conscience. His own conscience was telling him that this man is sinless. He has no fault. He has not committed any crime. He was convinced that this man was a righteous man who needed to be released, to be acquitted. But the crowd that surrounded him was demanding the death of Jesus Christ. And if he didn't release him, they would have reacted violently. So Pilate was in this dilemma. What was he going to do in this situation? So he thought of doing something that would satisfy both his conscience and the crowd. And what was that thing? He thought that if he asked the crowd who they wanted to be released, he would satisfy both his conscience and the crowd. And why he thought that way? It's because he thought that the crowd would choose Jesus instead of Barabbas. Because Pilate asked the crowd, "Who do you want me to release today? Barabbas or Jesus Christ?" But the crowd chose Barabbas. A man who was supposed to be hated by those men. Because this man was a criminal. He was a criminal. He was a murderer. He was a robber. He committed all sorts of crime. And he deserved to rot in prison and die there. But by his surprise, the crowd chose Barabbas. And because Pilate feared men, he released Barabbas and condemned Jesus. And he did that against his own conscience. So a criminal was released and a righteous man was condemned. I believe if Barabbas was not put in competition with Christ for the favor of the people, he would have died for his crimes. If Pilate didn't ask the crowd to choose one man between Jesus Christ and Barabbas, Barabbas would have died for his sins. But Christ, the righteous one, the sinless one, was condemned in his stead. He was condemned instead of Barabbas. We can clearly see the purpose of Christ's condemnation. He was condemned so that sinners might be released, might be acquitted. That is why he was condemned. He was condemned so that we may live, so that we may escape the wrath of God, so that we may be counted righteous before God. Barabbas was released and Christ was delivered to be crucified. The man who deserved to be crucified was released, and the man who deserved to be the judge of all those people who were there was delivered to be crucified. And when Christ was delivered to be crucified, the soldiers took him to the headquarters of Pilate. They took him there to mock him. It was a painful and bloody mockery, but it was also a visible reminder that our Lord suffered for the curse of sin. Through this mockery, this painful and bloody mockery, our Lord was suffering the curse of sin. Let us read verses 27 to 30 once again. It says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him." And here, the whole battalion, it can be about 300 to 1,000 soldiers. Imagine, for only one person, hundreds of soldiers dealing with him. Very strange, isn't it? And all this so that the curse of sin can be removed from us. So I continue with the reading. "They gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spat on him, and took the reed, and struck him on the head." We see in these verses how they mocked our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we see how it was painful and bloody. But it was necessary for salvation of sinners. It was necessary that our Lord Jesus Christ went through all these things so that we can be saved. By being mocked, he was suffering the curse of sin on behalf of his people. And how did they mock him? The first thing we see they did in mocking him was that they stripped him. They undressed him. They took off his clothes. They made him naked. And we all know that to be naked in public is a shameful thing. And the shame of nakedness came in with sin. It was brought by sin. When we read Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, he discovered that he was naked. And when he discovered that he was naked, he was ashamed and he hid himself. He then gathered fig leaves and sewed them and made loin cloth. He made something to cover his loins. And he did that in order to hide his nakedness, in order to cover his shame. So it is shameful to be naked in public. And that's what they were trying to do to Jesus Christ. So when the soldiers undressed Christ, when they stripped him, when they made him naked, they were subjecting him to shame. That is what they were doing. And Christ willingly submitted to that shame. He submitted to that shame. And he submitted to it so that his people could cover their guilt and shame of sin with the white garment of salvation. That's the reason why Jesus Christ submitted to that shame. He submitted to it so that his people, those who put their trust in him and repent from their sins, can cover their guilt and shame of sin with the white garment of salvation. Those who believe in Christ and repent from their sins are covered with the white garment of Christ's righteousness. Are you covered? Or will you be covered? if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've repented from your sins, you are covered with the white garment of Christ's righteousness. And if you are not yet, you have not yet put your trust in Jesus Christ and repented from your sins, you should know that you are naked. You are naked. You are still guilty of sin. And I can call you this morning to repent from your sins and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be covered with the white garment of Christ's righteousness. The second thing they did in mocking Jesus Christ was that they put on him a scarlet robe. They clothed him in a red robe. They put on him a red robe. This robe was similar, or it resembled the robes which kings and emperors wore. It perhaps belonged to one of the soldiers, because Roman soldiers wore robes which resembled the robes that kings wore. You know, it is a kind of the robes that the Catholic priest put on, but it is a bit different here on the neck and something like that. And that is the robe they put on him. And by putting on him this robe, they were mocking him. They were putting on him kingly clothes, the clothes that kings wore. And they did that even if they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was a king. They were just doing that to mock him. But even if they did it with evil intentions, that red robe had a very great meaning, a very great significance. Putting on him that red robe means that Christ bore our sins in his body, and to his shame. That red robe represents our sins. When you read Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, it says that our sins are like scarlet. They are red like crimson. Can you see? And that robe was, they call it here, scarlet robe. It was a red robe. So by putting that robe on him, it was symbolizing putting the sins of his people upon Jesus Christ. It also means that Christ washes sins with his blood. He makes them as white as snow. They become like wool when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent from our sins. Our sins become like cotton. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we should know that when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, our sins are transferred from us to our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are forgiven. We are washed by his blood. So the red robe they put on Jesus Christ symbolized our sins. Our sins that are like scarlet. They are red like crimson. The third thing they did in mocking our Lord Jesus Christ was that they put a crown of thorns on his head. This was another way of mocking Christ. They were trying to say that, we put this crown on your head because you say that you are a king. We are now crowning you. But it was painful because it was a crown of thorns. This crown was not like this other crown we see kings how do you call them, women? Queens. King and queens put on their heads. This was different. It was a crown of thorns. So when they put it on his head, it was very painful. It was even bloody because Jesus, this crown made that Jesus bled when they put this crown on him. He bled. So it was very, very painful. The pain of thorns came in with sin. That's what we should remember. So all these things have their own spiritual meaning, spiritual significance. The pain of thorns came with sin. The pain of thorns was brought by sin. Thorns are part of the curse that was brought by sin. When Adam sinned, God cursed the earth. He cursed the ground. He said that the earth would bring forth thorns for man. That's what God told Adam when he sinned. So when they put the crown of thorns on the head of Christ, they were putting that curse upon him. And in that way, Jesus Christ suffered the curse of sin. And it was good that he suffered that curse. It was good because that suffering removes the curse from all those who put their trust in him. And when I say that it removes the curse from all those who put their trust in Christ, I don't mean that believers don't experience hardship. I don't mean that believers don't experience pain. What I mean is this: that curse is removed because their hardship is now temporal. It is now temporal. After a short while, believers will be free from any pain. There won't be thorns in heaven. There won't be pain in heaven. So that curse is removed. We are just waiting for that time so that we may not experience pain anymore. Because Jesus Christ suffered that curse. That is why, my dear friend, who are Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, should rejoice even in pain, because we know that our pains are temporal. They are only for a short while. Soon and very soon, pain and suffering will be history. We will not remember it anymore, because our Lord Jesus Christ suffered that curse already. It is now removed from us. And those who are not yet Christians, those who have not yet put their trust in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you this morning that the curse is still upon you. It is still upon you. You will experience pain in this life, and even in the life to come, because that curse has not yet been removed from you. The only way to escape it is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe in Jesus Christ and repent from your sins, that curse will be removed from you. The fourth thing they did in mocking our Lord Jesus Christ is that they put a reed in his right hand. They gave him a kind of royal stick, you know. You know, kings, I don't see it here, but normally kings in the past, they always had a stick in their hands. And I think chiefs in Africa, sometimes they still use that. A stick, walking with a stick, even if they are not very old. And that is what they put in the right hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what they gave him. They gave him a kind of royal stick. And they did that because they were mocking him. They were trying to, you know, to laugh at him. That you are saying you are a king. Now here is a royal stick we are giving to you. But these people were very much mistaken. They didn't understand what Jesus Christ meant when he said he was a king. He clearly told them that he was not a king of this world. His kingdom is heavenly. His kingdom is not a temporal kingdom of this world. His kingdom is everlasting. They didn't understand that. That is why they gave him this stick. Christ's kingdom is spiritual and heavenly. It is not temporal and of this world. And this is what we need to understand, all of us, believers. Christ's kingdom is everlasting. He is heavenly. It is not the kingdom of this world. There are so many people who are deceived today. And they are deceived by people like these people who gave this stick, this royal stick to Jesus Christ. There are so many people who are preaching prosperity to their people, as if Christ's kingdom is the kingdom of this world. Each time they open their mouth, they will always tell people about prosperity. That believers should not suffer in this world. They cannot suffer in this world. They will always prosper because they belong to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. But that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus meant that his kingdom was the kingdom of heaven. His kingdom is better than the kingdoms of this world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we should know that we belong to a kingdom that is very far much better than all the kingdoms of this world. No one should deceive us. No one should lead us astray, making us believe that we should reign as kings in this world. No, our kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. It is everlasting. It is not temporal kingdom. So these people were very much mistaken. They didn't really understand what they were doing. So if you are in Jesus Christ, you should know that you belong to this everlasting kingdom. And one day you will reign with Jesus Christ in heaven. So my dear brothers and sisters, as we move on, we will see other things they did to mock Jesus Christ. But I think that we will continue with these things next Sunday. We will see there. Another thing they did is that they bowed before him, a kind of worshipping him, a kind of showing reverence to him, when in reality they were not showing any reverence to him. They were just mocking him. And we also see that they spat on him. It was a way of ridiculing our Lord Jesus Christ. They were despising him so that his people could be discouraged in any way. What kind of a king is this? And they also took the reed and struck him. The same reed they gave him, the stake they gave him, they took it and struck Jesus with it. And they beat him with it. And they, at the end, they removed that scarlet, that robe, and they clothed him with his own clothes, and then they led him to the place where he was crucified. So we'll continue with these things next Sunday. But what we can learn from this is this: our Lord accepted to suffer the curse of sin so that he could deliver us from it. The curse of sin has been removed from us because Jesus Christ suffered that curse. So those who are in Jesus Christ can today rejoice because the curse of sin is already removed from them. They are no longer under the wrath of God. They are now counted righteous because this curse was removed. So we have every reason to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself willingly. He accepted to be treated this way willingly, so that we could be saved. And this should cause us to hurt even our sins. Because as I have said, this curse was curse of sin. This curse came upon us because of sin. So Jesus Christ was going through all these things because of our sins. So when we meditate upon these things, we can no longer love our sins. We can no longer continue living in sin, because our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for them. So we should hate our sins. And we should value our salvation. We should value our salvation. We should always remember at which cost it was won. You see what Jesus Christ went through so that you can be saved. So it was won at a very high price. I know all of us, when we buy some expensive thing, we take good care of that thing, because it is expensive. And you say, don't touch this, you know. I bought this thing at a very high price. So we keep it very jealously. What more about our salvation? It cost our Lord. The price was very, very high. We should therefore value our salvation. We should live it out with fear and trembling. So, my dear brothers and sisters, let us always meditate upon what Jesus Christ did for us. And I pray that this word will bear fruit in our lives. Let us pray. Our dear Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We are so grateful to be reminded how our Lord suffered for the curse of sin, so that that curse could be removed from all those who put their trust in him and repent from their sins. And we pray that, O Lord, as we think about these things, our heart will be filled with awe and gratitude to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we also pray that we'll hurt our sins even more and value our salvation even more. Help us, O Lord, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For it is the most valuable thing we can have in this world. We thank you that this curse has been removed from us, and that any pain and suffering we are going through is temporal, and one day we will be in heaven, where we will never experience pain and suffering anymore, forever and ever. And we pray that this will awaken those who are still lost in their sins, so that they may understand that the curse of sin can be also removed from them. And the only thing they need is to put their trust in Jesus Christ and repent from their sins. Father, we pray that we will meditate upon this word the rest of this day. And we pray that it will be a blessed day for each and every one of us. We pray these things in the mighty name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.